Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, how sweet that is. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Keith Hake.
And this is Double Take. Keith, we're involved in a war in Iran, and there's still one ongoing in the Ukraine. So it seems to me that I've certainly lived through in my lifetime a few wars, Korean and so on, but nothing like World War II.
Oh, no. The body count is completely different.
Oh, my God.
We're so high-tech in the wars now that we're using drones and robots.
Exactly.
We do lose troops, God bless them. But back then, and part of this movie I thought was interesting that we're reviewing here, Pressure, was about the old school and the new school.
It was
old ways of doing war and how the turnover went to the new ways of doing war and what they depended on.
So dramatic. Now, this is from a play. It's called Pressure, as you said. And there's a double meaning there. The atmospheric pressure.
And the pressure on Ike.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Brendan Fraser doesn't look anything like Eisenhower, but who cares? Oh. I don't.
with the loss of hair and the eyes, he looked a little bit. But he definitely has a little bit more weight than girth.
And height. But you're right. The baldness is, and the four stars pretty much tell you who it is.
Yeah.
But
this
is poetic license. Who cares?
That doesn't matter. He's playing the part.
He's right.
He looks as much like Ike does as Tom Selleck did in the movie that he did about Ike there a couple of years
good
back.
Good one, yeah. Who would have thought the weather is a component of D-Day?
I never knew.
I would have even thought about it.
I don't think anyone knew.
I know.
Yeah, but very, very interesting, and I don't think anyone knew that it was supposed to take place the day before, the 5th.
Yeah. The big negative about putting it off because of the weather is that the Nazis are going to know right away. They're going to know.
Oh, yeah. They would figure it out with it.
How they didn't know the 5th seems impossible to me. I mean, so many people knew it was going to be the 5th, and that was their check. Surely the Nazis got wind of that, don't you think?
They had put out, there was another movie, and I don't recall the name of it, where they put out Dead Body.
They actually did.
Yeah. So they were trying to throw them off. And
yes.
Again, they were trying to throw them off, and they kind of mentioned it a little bit with the rubber tanks and the rubber airplanes that they would have around. The Nazis did know that we were going to invade, but they didn't know where and when.
Yes, that's right.
So that was
the key. It's a little bit of a they never thought of Normandy.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't think we'd do that somehow.
I
find that. So they did. They planted bodies with information, wrong information on, again, this is preparation 72 hours before D-Day. And the big problem is, what's the weather going to be like?
I thought the movie was a little bit more of like the TV's The Bottle movie, where most of it takes place at the Southwick House, which is the Allied Force Command Post.
Yeah.
And, of course, what they did was they actually shot at the Mentmore Towers.
Okay.
I'm guessing that was a lot prettier than the other one there. But most movie takes place there I think there's like two antagonists. Each one gets their own antagonist: Eisenhower, the Field Marshal, Bernard Montgomery, and Monty. I thought his actor, he loved playing that.
He's
part.
A bit over the top.
A little over the top there. I thought he really enjoyed playing that. And then, of course, Captain James Stagg. He had the American, the Colonel. What is it? Lieutenant Colonel Kirk.
Kirk, yeah.
Yeah, who played? I thought again enjoyed his part. Playing the American.
Yeah.
He was just the all-American. Like, I don't know if he's from New York, but that's what it's
right,
like.
Right, yeah. Andrew Scott playing.
Wonderful.
I mean, positively stone cold. And he says he's not certain, but he's as certain as you can be that it's not a good day
to go. And again, fighting where he's the new and looking at all the barometers and everything else that comes into meteorology. And then you have Kirk, who is the old school, looking at the charts and looking at the history, and this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
And with that American attitude of, this is what I said it's going to be, and no matter what you say, I'm not going to change my mind.
Yeah.
This is it, and almost willing the weather to change to what the way he wants it to
be. Yeah, dramatically, it so works for me. Now, you know I'm a word guy. Most of the action here is words, and that's because it was originally a play.
Now, that I did not know.
Yeah, and that David Haig, who helped with the screenplay with our director, Anthony Maris. But Haig had the stage play of this, so that's why you're feeling...
And maybe that all of it's taking place in one building.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes it nicer for the general audience. This versus another World War II movie that was out a couple years back was Hacksaw Ridge. And there's
complete... Oh, I forgot about that one.
Polar opposites, where Hacksaw Ridge showed all the gore and the horror of the battle. Where this one, more the mental thought of it, leading up to it, and then the battle scenes, very dramatic... But I'll say softened a lot, where when the troops land, they would come out of the Higgins boats, it would drop, and the machine gun turrets would literally mow them down.
Yeah, it was...
And they showed that a little bit, but nothing, again, no gore.
Well,
and they would fade out, and what I loved the fade out was then the Sea of Red.
The Sea of Red is such a good visual image.
They show that twice there
to
show the carnage. And they didn't really show too many bodies in the Sea of Red. It was more, it was up, and it was... the ocean, and you saw the amount of people that died.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a nice way to do it, that kids could see it, and you're not focusing on that, you're on the carnage, but you're focusing on what those soldiers gave up for their life. Their blood is what they gave up.
And the reason you're saying, too, is that they had a practice round. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
A communication loss or something. Yeah. They didn't get the word that they shouldn't.
Operation Tiger, is that correct?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, Operation Tiger.
And so therefore you have this bloody Red Sea. You say, wait a minute, it's just that it went wrong.
Yeah.
And they did have actual, of course, machine guns.
Oh, yeah.
But they knew somehow to avoid them, whatever, in the practice round.
And some of the Germans and a loss of communication. What that was, I guess, if I get this correct, the British... and our communications were on different wavelengths.
That's right.
So they couldn't communicate.
Ouch.
Ironically, we lost 700 Allied soldiers during that operation.
Right, right, right.
Lost 73,000.
Jesus
Christ. In D-Day operation.
I mean,
of the Allied. It's just the numbers. The numbers are just, it's mind-stopping.
Yeah, yeah. And as you opened up with the difference in warfare between then and now, it's hard for us to believe. For the loss, you say, well, wait a minute now, where are your drones? And your communication is so good now. Yeah. All of the questions are, how could that be? Well, at that time, that's, how many years ago? That's decades ago when they were doing the best they could.
Oh, yeah. And the weather played in every part of it. And the
who would have thought?
And the cold, and you would have thought, there in Normandy, the beaches of Normandy in France there, that we've been to France. The weather's
hell
nice
yeah,
there.
Man.
You wouldn't think it's that bad. It's not like you're up in the Arctic or you're fighting the Russians over there. And
I've never had a bad experience with weather in England.
Oh, no.
But it is reported infamously to be uncertain and dark and gloomy. And that dark and gloomy is not good when you're invading with hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Ooh, now we spoke about kind of the antagonist. Now, what do you think of the Colonel... what was her name?
Summersby.
Kay Summersby. Now, what did you think of
her? She's my kind of lady.
Or Captain. I'm sorry, Captain Summersby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is played by Carrie Condon.
Yeah.
She's wonderful.
Oh, I thought so. Also.
She's not super glamorous.
No.
She's just as feminine and tough.
Again, very feminine. So everyone's image of World War II was.
Yeah.
What I liked her part was she was able to show a little bit compassion. Where Eisenhower,
good one,
was,
yeah.
It had to be kind of the matter of fact, what they were going through, and when she wanted to help Stagg with some personal matters, Eisenhower is nope, none of that matters. This is what we're doing.
We're all sitting there knowing that it's alleged that she and Ike had an affair.
Oh, I did not know.
Oh, yeah, no. She was his personal.
Was personal assistant, but they didn't play that in the movie at all.
No, no, they stayed completely away from that. And which I really liked because the rumor is so strong about that. It seems probably true.
So it's just a rumor.
Oh, well, for sure. But it's one of those rumors that consistently shows up historically all the time about Kay Summersby. And it seems plausible, although the movie, I thought, did a brilliant job of avoiding that. And
I would never have guessed it.
No, what I really love is that it avoids any of the romance that usually they'll put in cheap romance.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd have thought that with Stagg is such a straight arrow.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife is pregnant.
And his whole thing, yeah. About his wife there.
Yeah. Boy, did that just hit right. How many times does two things happen at one time? Here he has this enormous responsibility for hundreds of thousands of lives, And he also has a wife who could miscarry.
Right. The pressure.
The two of us are going to talk about some World War II movies that we have seen before.
That would be nice.
Keith Hake, the movie is Pressure. It's out there now. What do you advise?
Especially this time of year. I saw the movie on Memorial Day. Not one of those that beat you over the head being overly patriotic. It is just truly a world film where it shows Scottish, English, American coming together under extreme pressure, odds against them, and doing something miraculous.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think there's anything wrong with your taking a smart 8 or 9 year old.
Oh,
but
no.
your 10, 11, 12s will appreciate it. And as a history lesson, it's fantastic. That's what movies do, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a history lesson. Sitting there, if you have very little to understand.
Even teaching people our age what's going on.
And then looking, who would have thought?
Yes.
You know, who gives a damn about the weather? Well, they really
they
did.
Do.
And when you think about it, it does play a part in this. So that's the beauty of movies. They can zero in. It's like zooming in on a particular point. And I love the historical characters, and I love their argument. And it's just like an argument that families could have or anybody could have. No, we're not going because the weather's not going to be good.
Oh.
No, but if we don't go now, we'll never go.
We'll never go.
Yeah. Keith Hake, the movie is Pressure. And it's about the invasion, Normandy invasion of D-Day, and about the struggles that went on with the people who were in charge, like Dwight D. Eisenhower, as to whether to go forward with thousands of troops on a day where his chief meteorologist suggests it's not a day that they should go, where another American meteorologist says, yes, go, and here's what has happened in the past. So anyway, it's really intriguing. It's not nerdy. It's just people deciding, and when you think about, you've had family arguments, take a look at this argument and decide. So, Keith, anything more that we needed? I know we're going to transition into movies that we remember about World War II, but anything for our movie Pressure?
It was just a really, really well-done movie, yeah. And apparently a well-done play.
As a transition point, everybody uses Saving Private Ryan as the index for great World War II movies.
Okay.
I think that's the one that comes up most of all,
mm-hmm.
probably because of the opening sequence, which is so realistic.
Sure.
And seems true to point. All these troops, thousands of them, getting mowed down by the machine gun nests mm-hmm. of the Nazis. And when you say to yourself, well, what else are they going to do? Well, they could bomb them. But anyway, for that particular act,
mm-hmm.
there were thousands lost. And so that's what gives the dramatic center about Pressure. Saving Private Ryan, right, which you remember and I remember mm-hmm. and everybody remembers, and certainly any other movie for you that is worth mentioning?
The exact opposite would have been the Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Just because it's exact opposite. It's bloody, gory,
right.
and this movie is not.
I mean, in Hacksaw Ridge, there still is a question as to whether they should climb that with a rope.
Well, it was they didn't want him to climb because probably the possibility that he would die going up there. They didn't want to send people up there because they would be basically just mowed down again.
Okay.
They didn't want them to go up there.
Uh-huh.
As far as some of the weather-related movies, we just saw last year, because we had gone to Luxembourg and the Battle of the Bulge with Henry Fonda. It's with him. They're trying to find the tanks and the fog, and they can't find them.
Ah, wonderful.
And they're going along, and then because he says they're there, no one believes him that they're there, but he knows for
Great.
Sure. So, again, it's one person
yeah.
against everyone else saying they're there. I'm going to find them. I'm going to find the right answer.
Yeah.
And he was flying his little plane over there, and clouds clear, and there's all the tanks below him there. So
excellent. Yeah.
Get him in there.
I forgot about the fog. As you know, we often don't think about that as weather.
Right.
That's
yeah.
weather.
Yeah.
And that's serious weather if you're invading.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
God, that's
and
great.
The fog, again, played with the Battle of Midway. You know, and there's two movies about that, you know, with Midway, the one with, again, with Henry Fonda there and all the stars. I mean, that was,
that
was one of those 1976 ones where any star that was in the older World War II movies was in that movie.
Well, here's one like that. The Longest Day.
Longest Day, yes.
Which I love for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You got all of your big stars,
oh, yeah.
including
yeah.
Robert Mitchum. And that was as much the fun of it as seeing how they replicate which they didn't really much. It was mostly focused on the famous actors playing mm-hmm. their
yeah.
parts.
And that was
kind of what they did back in the 70s there is they would, because they'd get the big stars lined up and then they would put them in their Army outfit or Navy or Air Force and put them there and let them be them, because they're such shining stars that you can't take your eyes off of them.
And interestingly, different kind of movie, The Great Escape.
Oh, yeah.
As a World War II movie. I mean, really, who would have thought? But it's based upon a true event.
Oh, yes, yes.
Which we had several.
A lot of fun. Steve McQueen, the motorcycle. No one can forget that scene.
No,
and his little aviator glasses like you're wearing.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
So, yeah.
I was just reading that McQueen had demanded for that motorcycle sequence.
Yes, he did, yes.
He would bail out in the film if they didn't have that. But then I've also read he did not go over the fence.
Oh, of course not. They wouldn't have let him.
I know. They wouldn't have let him.
That wouldn't have happened.
But otherwise, McQueen was pretty cool. And The Great Escape, which had many subsequent Magnificent Seven people, including John Sturgis, I think, as the director. Not one you think about necessarily as World War II. You think of it more like a caper film or an interesting thriller. But you don't think about it having that resonance that we're talking about with The Longest Day and with our movie today, Pressure. And this one is a smaller one with a good amount of humor.
Oh, yeah. Humor, you know, they would bring that into a lot of the World War II movies, like The Dirty Dozen.
Oh, good, yeah,
again,
yeah.
Again, with Lee Marvin or Clint Eastwood or John Wayne, any of those older World War II movies are just, you know, The Green Beret, any of those are wonderful. And they all have heart, because they always have the characters that, will die. You know they'll die. But the lightheartedness, like, Telly Savalas, and some characters that just live on forever.
1998 was a movie called Life is Beautiful. Roberto Benigni. Benigni famously accepted the Oscar and jumped all over the seats. Stupid, I thought. But he was trying to capture the lightheartedness of the movie, Life is Beautiful, because it was a concentration camp. Life is not beautiful, but he had it making it beautiful. But he accepted the award, and I think he was trying to reestablish the spirit of the film. It really looked dumb to me.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I can never forgive the guy.
For doing that, right.
The other one, which, talking about serious, Schindler's List.
Oh, Schindler's List.
What do you think?
Almost too serious.
I know. It was so heavy duty.
It was dark and uplifting at the same time. The final scene in that with, again, all the corpses and the red dress. It was much like the red blood in the movie there.
Yeah, thank you.
That we just saw there. It was
that's a good point.
A poignant that says a lot with just the color.
You take the larger canvas of the war, and then you take it down and focus right down into things that were happening that are horrific, but lose their power when you think about how many thousands were lost in the war itself. But it's unforgettable. You're right. Another Steven Spielberg, that Schindler's, and he's good. You know, he's good at this, and he's probably Ryan, right? So think how he can take World War II and make it popular, but yet it's serious at the same time.
Yeah.
So you talk about World War II.
Well, you've got
another
escape movie, The Twelfth Man.
Oh, my gosh.
Where, fighting the Arctic, trying to escape the Nazis.
Oh, good.
Working his way through Sweden.
Uh-huh.
Again, that's more winter. And then you've got Enemy at the Gates and Stalingrad, with the battles against the Russians. And again, more with the weather, but just the freezing temperatures. And I don't know if you've ever seen any of the older pictures of World War II pictures of just the soldiers just frozen, frozen stiff.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable what... how weather will play into life. Just recently here on the news on the way here this morning, there was Mount McKinley. There was four people, three had passed because of the weather. They could not get to them.
Yeah. Keith, here's one that came out recently, 9 years ago, that I thought was impressive for this focused picture about a particular part of the war. And this would be Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. Oh, yes. Dunkirk was a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
Again, played a... there's actually two movies about Dunkirk, was there not, at the same time?
I think you're
pretty
right.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dunkirk was again a wonderful movie, them trying to get the boats in there and get the people off and the whole island coming in to save everyone. That was a really, really well-done movie.
Yeah.
The Imitation Game, they're trying to find the cipher for codes that the Nazis were putting on.
That's right, yes, so yes.
The whole movie was about that.
I love it. The focus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who would have thought this could be dramatic?
Yeah. just computers.
Yes.
A code book. Who would think that? And the weather, who would think that the weather would be dramatic?
So, and with those codes, I mean, who would have thought, well, do you think that wasn't important? Yeah, I think it was very important. It's out there today. A movie less grand scale than most World War II movies. There's no humor in this, and there is at the decisions made, and similar to the one, and I think, was it in Dunkirk? As we were talking about it, it was Churchill that was responsible mm-hmm. for trying to get those troops off that Dunkirk beach, looking for the right time mm-hmm. to get them and whether they're going to have a break with the Nazis to be able to get them out. That's great stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing that what people will go through and the pressure that is on them to make the right decision and knowing that history will judge them if it's the wrong decision. Yeah. And it's almost always comes down to a coin flip of, am I going to believe you?
Yeah.
Or am I going to believe you?
Yeah.
And if you're right or wrong.
Well, and it's so true. We forget the decisions that officers had to make. It was a very simple life for them.
With all the men. And I thought Brendan Fraser did a good job showing remorse for the lives lost at Operation Tiger.
Yeah.
And then having that weigh on him for this next bigger decision.
Yes.
Just that this would turn the war, and he knew it would turn the war one way or the other.
Well,
it would either
yes.
lose it or it would win it. And he's the one that had to make that decision, and he had to rely on someone he barely knew versus someone that he's worked with for years, followed the science.
Yeah, oh, gotcha. Yeah. I'll tell you, we could end. I have one. Do you have any more, Keith, that you wanted to mention?
I'm pretty good.
Well, so I wanted to mention one that's a little bit offbeat here. But again, I think we've talked about how much we've enjoyed the focus, the kind of stage play that we had in Passage, where you can concentrate on character and dialogue. And you have a little cutting into some of the more spectacular shots on the beaches. But basically, this is human beings trying to make decisions that are just incomprehensibly important and pressure. My final offer to you is, I'll bet you've seen this, The Bridge on the River Kwai.
Of course.
I knew that you had. Now, that's a 1957 movie.
Quite a few times.
Which I love.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a wonderful movie. Again, him more like the main character, like a playing Kirk in the movie Pressure.
Yes.
There. Made a decision, and he's going to stick to it no matter how many times people are trying to prove him wrong. And he just doesn't see that he's wrong.
Now, what is that the Guinness character?
Yes, where he's the, I don't know if he's captain or colonel. He helps the Japanese. We're going to build this bridge, and because he's a bridge builder, and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to build this bridge. Doesn't even think that I'm helping the enemy. It's, you're doing this all wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to show you the right way. This is how you do it. And doesn't realize until the end of the movie that I'm wrong.
Yeah, because... And he doesn't know that the Allies want to use that bridge.
Yeah.
You know, there's multiple reasons going on here. Mm-hmm. The chief officer and the Japanese is just excellent in this. I think he got an Oscar.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, for that. Sessua Hayakawa.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Oh, well,
It's just a wonderful movie.
Yeah. And they add bouncy tune.
That's true. I couldn't remember, and I was thinking that on the way over here also. I don't remember any music playing in this movie.
I think it was maybe, but not. They definitely put that.
Maybe some softer music when they had the battle scene. But
maybe
I really
you're
don't.
Right. I would have to go back too to see that. It was so soft.
Yeah, nothing catches my mind on that.
All
which
right.
usually helps drive a movie.
Keith Hake, the movie is Pressure. It's out there now. What do you recommend?
Well, I'm not going to pressure you to go see it. But I do think that people of all ages, children, parents, adults that are a little bit older like us, that would really enjoy it and learn a great history lesson. I won't say a fun film, but it is a fun to watch.
Oh, it is not a dull moment in this.
Yeah.